Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLX. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Democratic candidate will soon declare her candidacy for the new Iowa House District 28 seat. Who is she? Where is she from? What issues are important to her? Why is she running for office? Let's go in depth with Megan Sir from Knoxville. Megan, where are you from?
Bob, I'm really from originally from Packwood, Iowa. Currently, I live in Knoxville. We've been here for about 6.5 years. My husband, Michael, grew up here in Knoxville. I grew up on the farm in Packwood. We come from 3 generations of family farmers. My father was a farm equipment mechanic, and that helped sustain our family throughout our childhood. And now we are here in Knoxville, where my husband works at his family business.
Was your family impacted by the farm crisis of the 80s?
Well, I believe everybody that was a farmer in the 80s was impacted. And certainly there was some impact to my dad's family business as well as to the farm.
And so some lessons learned in all of that?
I believe so. And from that point, it seems that farmers have just continued to grow and rebound, which has been a wonderful thing to see.
So what made you decide to run for office?
Well, Bob, I'm running because I feel like we've really gotten off track this past year. In a couple of years before that, we were really on track with reorganizing the state government. I sat with a lot of government reorg committees. This year, we've been really focused on mental health reform, and now they're kind of getting off onto social issues and different issues that maybe just don't affect those that really need the help this time around.
And you were working at the Capitol in some capacity?
I do. I work at the Capitol for a grassroots organization currently, where I have the opportunity to work with all legislators, both Democrats and Republicans, in a bipartisan fashion.
Okay, and so you work, you inform them with respect to issues, and you try to help them pass legislation that's in the interest of your group.
That's true. I try to help them understand what the legislation does and who it's impacting and who it's helping.
And is that an interesting kind of thing, to be involved at the State House, the workings of the State House?
I think it is really interesting. I'm excited to learn about the different ways that legislation affects our everyday lives. I've had a lot of people ask what is a representative for the State House and what do they do. Those people are responsible for making our rules and regulations here throughout the state. One that's impacted a lot of younger people lately has been the texting while driving. Everybody is aware of that. There's no longer allowed texting while driving, and that was something that was done at the State House, and I was able to sit in on those debates.
And you're representing a brand new district.
That's correct. District 28 is comprised now of parts of District 71 as well as District 72. District 71 was represented by Jim Van Engelenhoven, and District 72 was represented by Rich Arnold. Currently, the new district runs from just north of I-80 by Newton and covers Reisner down to just south of Highway 34 and the city of Russell. So it's a pretty long district. It also covers everything over from to Lake Rathbun and just outside of Sheridan. It also runs us up to Lake Red Rock but does not include Pella. So our district has really changed in the makeup of the district as well.
And east-west, where does it go?
East-west, it goes from just over to, well, it depends. It's kind of a funny line. It goes over to Pella. It cuts over Harvey, Bussey. To the west, it goes to Melcher, Dallas, Swan, Pleasantville, Runnels, and all of those small communities to the west.
Doesn't quite go to Indianola.
Doesn't quite go to Indianola.
The only larger city in that area is Knoxville.
That's correct. Knoxville is our biggest city within that district.
The previous districts were hard for Democrats to win because of the influence of Pella. This district is more wide open, isn't it?
I believe it is. Currently, the numbers are showing a big independent base and then a pretty evenly distributed Democrat and Republican base as well. So there's an opportunity here for a Democrat to take the seat or a Republican. It could go either way.
More in depth after this. continued my conversation with Megan Sir, candidate for the new Iowa House District 28 seat.
What are the big issues that you see yourself focusing on should you be elected?
My issues that I work on primarily are healthcare and education. I also get to listen to lots of different debates. Some of them that I'm interested in recently are the farm debates, the tax credits for our local families, small business recovery from the recession. Those are some of the issues that are currently going on that interest me.
And a lot of legislation that impacts farmers in rural Iowa in general came up last year, didn't it? Is there any of that that interests you, any that you want to bring forward? What are you thinking about farming?
Well, for our farmers, one of the biggest issues was ethanol and ethanol tax credits. I believe there were about 15 or 16 bills that directly spoke about ethanol. And the tax credits and the appropriations and how to start that infrastructure. We already have some ethanol, but they'd like to expand on that, and that really impacts our farmers. Some of the other farm bills that really impacted our local farmers was the electricity issue, where they needed to update the electricity to come into code in all of the farm buildings. And some of the outbuildings that the farmers use, it was just not cost effective to update those electrical outlets for the amount of usage that they get. So that was a big issue for farmers last session. There's also a local food and farm program initiative where we'd like to be able to support local farmers to bring and produce local foods for local distribution and market. So there's some funding for that as well, which I think would impact everyone around here as far as the consumer as well as the farmer.
And so growing up on the farm and with that background, you see yourself as an advocate for farming issues.
Absolutely. Most of our food came directly from the farm, from the gardens we grew, from the animals we raised. Our food didn't come from countries away or counties away. And today's food source comes from many miles away, and we'd like to see that produce more locally and accessible to the local communities.
And how about small business issues? Do you see yourself as a small business advocate helping grow our smaller communities?
Absolutely. I work at my own small business. My husband also works at his family's small business. Most of my employment opportunities throughout my history have all been with Iowa small businesses. Currently, there's a lot of legislation in front of the State House that would impact small businesses. Most 4 out of 5 small businesses help them get back up on their feet and recover from the recession that we've had. So small business is an important part of my campaign as well.
Any issues related to property taxes or taxes in general that you're going to be focusing on?
Well, there are a lot of different tax issues. There are different bills that would impact 4 out of 5 families here in our district as far as tax relief for local families. The current makeup of our district, we have 2 earners in the household, which means both mom and dad are working and just struggling to make ends meet. So there are some tax breaks for those families.
And you want to see those continue?
Certainly. I'd like to see, you know, those kinds of things continue for anyone that really struggles today.
The general area has a good manufacturing base, and Knoxville's manufacturing is growing. Weiler Industries, Hormel, 3M, all kinds of different other smaller businesses. How do you see your role in helping small manufacturing grow jobs?
I'd like to be able to help those businesses and support them in their growth. And currently, we have a big boom going on for some of these businesses. Some of our other businesses, we're seeing a downturn because of the economy and the lack of building that's going on. But for our main industries and manufacturing, they've had a really great year, and they're continuing to grow and become more successful. I'd just like to make myself accessible and available to those businesses and support them in any way they need assistance. And I think one of the better things about me is I'm really accessible to the people. I'd like to be accessible to those people to truly represent what is in the best interest for our district.
More in depth after this. We'll be right back.
continued my conversation with Megan Sir, candidate for the new Iowa House District 28 seat.
And you mentioned education. What do you think needs to be done with education? I read this morning Iowa's test scores are getting better, but they're not up there like we want because other communities are getting better, other states are getting better as well. What do you see as we can do at a state level for education?
Well, funding our schools, first and foremost. There was a lot of discussion about allowable growth last session and how much funding we were going to give the schools. It ended up going with 0% increase for allowable growth, which has not happened in the 40 years of allowable growth for schools. And they do have Governor Branstad on board to give 2% allowable growth next session. So the schools will kind of have an idea of how to plan for their budget. Last session, they weren't able to plan for their budget in time and renew those teacher contracts before they knew what the funding would be. So I think just making sure that our funding is there for the schools that we have. Also, Governor Branstad has a big new plan that he would like to roll out that will take it will take a lot of time to get that plan implemented. There are some great pieces and some pieces that may not be so appealing to our educators. So it'll be really important to really be able to go through that and work with those educators to go over the bill and see what's great for their schools and what doesn't work for our schools in this community.
Now, Governor Branstad last year said we couldn't give schools the monies, the allowable growth that they requested because of a budget shortfall. How can you give schools the money if there is a budget shortfall?
Well, the truth is, Bob, that we didn't have a budget shortfall. The state reorganization happened so that we met our goals for the budget. We ended up with over $250 million in our savings account. This past session, we added another $500 million to our savings account. We're almost up to $800 million in our savings account, so there is funding there to fund those core interests that we really need to fund as far as our health care and our education goes.
So the money's there.
There's money there. It's a matter of priorities, I think, and how much money they really want to dedicate towards these different things.
Now, for those of us that live in rural Iowa, rural America, roads and infrastructure are critical. Do you have a position on how you would help repair, replace whatever's needed, our roads, our bridges, our infrastructure? You can't get that corn to market if our roads are in corn and beans to market if our roads are in bad shape.
That's true. When we started our roads and infrastructure, a lot of these rural country roads were more highly traveled than they are today. We really need to look at the infrastructure and who's traveling those roads, how are they being used, are they being used for heavy farm equipment, what kind of repairs are those roads in need of, as well as the funding. There's lots of people right now that are supportive of the gas tax increase. The gas tax increase hasn't been raised for about 10 years. It's remained constant. So we need to really look at raising those taxes. If we do that and raise that gas tax, where are those funds going to go and how are they going to be used? And are they going to be used for the pot that they're set aside for? Sometimes when we set aside a little bit of money for one thing, we sometimes dip into it for other things. So we really need to make sure that we're using those to improve our roadways. We also have some of the worst bridges around the state, and that would also improve our employment opportunities as well to repair those roads and bridges.
How about attracting new businesses? Is that an important thing to you, attracting new businesses to the district? And how would you propose using taxation policies to bring in new businesses?
Well, Bob, we have a lot of business here within our district. Typically, people look at the main street and the square around the main cities to see what the business is like. However, business has changed today. We have just as many businesses that are home-based businesses as we do storefront businesses. So when we talk about helping those businesses, we're no longer just helping the storefront. We're helping all of those small businesses. Certainly, we'd like to see our businesses increase and grow. We have a lot of different projects that are slated to start here around the district, one of them being the dam and the hydroelectric plant that's going into the dam. Those will bring in some other employment opportunities to the area and to the district, and I'd like to be supportive of those initiatives that do bring opportunity for employment here to our district.
Well, and that brings to mind the redevelopment of the VA. Do you have any thoughts on that? That could be a big boon to the district.
It certainly could. I think the VA campus has always been beneficial to the community in one way or another. Currently, there's a lot of discussion about which way the VA should be used. I had the opportunity to be at the Capitol last session when there was a federal initiative that came down about the VA that slipped right through the hands of our House representative. So I went to our state senator and said, are you aware of this? And no one was aware that these issues were coming down to a state level from the federal level. So we really need to be aware of those things that can happen when it comes to federal ground in our communities. As far as redevelopment of the VA, there are a lot of different ideas and a lot of different options out there, and I'd certainly be willing to look at all of those different options, and the interest is there to regrow that community that's there. We also have had the largest deployment of veterans in Iowa recently. And with that, we really need to keep in mind that we need to support those veterans in their health care and their employment back to work once they come back, and really just support those that are protecting us.
And so do you see veterans' issues as a priority?
I do. I come from a large family. My mother's side of the family is all involved in veterans affairs, be it the National Guard, the Navy, all different branches of the military. So we've always had a family member that's always actively deployed. So I understand what those families go through and the difference it makes when one of those parents are deployed, and sometimes both of those parents are deployed. I understand the impact that makes on the community as well as to the family.
Anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I think it's important for the listeners to know that I have been a consumer advocate for about 18 years, really advocating for consumers and teaching them how to advocate for themselves. And I'd like to continue in that role by allowing the district to be able to contact me regularly and be in regular communication. I think it's important as a representative to be truly represent the district that you've been elected to represent, whether that's Democratic or Republican. I think I'd like to hear from all sides and see what's really important to our district. So it's important for me to be accessible and available to those people that have issues and concerns at the state level. Bob, you can contact me and get in touch with me via my website. Currently, my website is Megan for Iowa. It's MeganForIowa.com. I'm also available on Facebook or Twitter. You can call me, you can mail me a letter, and you can find all of that contact information via my website at MeganForIowa.com.
And there's a big event on Friday, isn't there?
There is a big event. There's a big formal campaign kickoff that will be happening Friday in Knoxville at the courthouse outside at noon. We'll be doing a formal campaign kickoff and announcement at that time, sponsored by the Marion County Democrats.
Thanks to Megan Sir for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.